We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. T.S. Eliot. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another special Sun Earth Day podcast. In the last Arctic Impressions podcast, we took a trip to a high school in Barrow, Alaska, as described by visiting middle school teacher from Rockville, Maryland, Dorian Jenny. On each day of Dorian's incredible journey, she kept a journal of her experience, complete with descriptive text and imagery, that she emailed back to her students in Maryland at the end of each day. In today's podcast, Dorian will read day 4 of that journal, describing her experience at the Polar Gateway's Arctic Circle Sunrise Conference that started on January 23, 2008. If that date sounds familiar to you, it's because it marked the day of the polar sunrise. Since Barrow is located over 300 miles north of the Arctic Circle, it doesn't see a sunrise for 84 days of the year. Imagine not seeing the sun for 84 days. So when it does peak over the southern horizon on January 23rd, it's something to shout about. We've also included interviews conducted by student reporter Kara Mayo of two scientists who participated in the Polar Gateways conference. Don't forget to visit the Sun Earth Day website for more information and phenomenal imagery directly related to each of these podcasts. So let's get started. Here's Dorian.
Greetings from the top of the world. Today is my fourth day in Barrow, Alaska, and the Polar Gateway's Arctic Circle Sunrise Conference officially begins today. It is so nice to go from being a teacher to being a learner, and I so enjoyed spending the entire day learning about a myriad of different topics from so many experts. This was a pretty special conference, as many of our speakers aren't actually really here. The entire conference is being broadcast live to many other sites, so we're able to see and hear presentations from other sites around the world in real time. We had many people in several different countries being connected to us, which was pretty amazing, especially given all the time differences between all of the people who were involved. The first speaker was an Inupiat elder from the Barrow community named Kenneth Tuvok. He did an invocation in the Inupiat language, which sounded really amazing. My older sister lives in Denmark and speaks Danish, and the Inupiat language kind of reminded me of that language, as some of the vowel sounds sounded really stretched out. Next, we had a welcome from Richard Glenn, a board member of the Barrow Arctic Science Consortium. He gave us information about the town of Barrow and explained some of Barrow's cultural history to us. Next, George Oleman, special assistant to the mayor here in Barrow, explained to us how many of the people in town became involved with the researchers here at BASC, and described the history of this long and close relationship that these two different communities now enjoy. For almost 5,000 years, the Inupiat people lived in their own communities and had very little interaction with any other groups. When whaling was a big industry, back around 1850, the first white visitors began to come this way to catch whales. At first, there was not much interaction between these two groups. Eventually, though, they began to work together, and a very special whaler named Charles Bauer became a part of the community. He married an Inupiat woman, and they had many, many children. And he brought new ideas and techniques for whaling to the Barrow community. He was also very interested in learning whatever they could teach him about their traditional manner of fishing and hunting. To this day, the Brower name is a very common last name, and there's even a section of town known as Browerville. Our next speaker was Gail Sheehan, who is the director here at the BASC facility. He is married to the head of the Anthropological Laboratory here, and they've been here since 1988. He explained how important the people of Barrow are to the entire operation of Arctic science research here. He also showed us images and told us all about the first International Polar Year, which was held from 1881 through 1884. Then we began to have our video conference with scientists from around the world. We began with Ingrid Sundell of Kiruna, Sweden, who showed us images of her city and describe the types of scientific research that is going on at the Swedish Institute of Space Physics. Many speakers from Sweden gave presentations, and we learned about the latest news from MARA, the Movable Atmospheric Radar in Antarctica, recent results from Mars and Venus studies, and about the auroral studies that were made during the Russian-Swedish expedition to Spitsbergen between 1899 and 1900. Let's listen to another interview from our own Cara Mayo.
Okay, so what is an aurora?
Well, aurora is a visual display, very beautiful one, which you can see around the areas around the magnetic poles. Mm-hmm. These areas are called auroral ovals.
Why doesn't it fill the sky green? And why does it have the structure?
Well, the structure comes from the geomagnetic field lines. So those particles which cause the auroras, they want to run along the geomagnetic field lines.
Okay.
And in the atmosphere, you see, you have the oxygen everywhere, you are right. But those particles which collide with oxygen and cause these auroras, they run along the geomagnetic field lines. That's why you see structures which kind of show where how the field lines are aligned, and they are very discrete structures.
Are there auroras on other planets?
There are auroras on every planet which has a large magnetic field and a thick atmosphere. The auroras on the other planets are very different to the auroras on the Earth. The auroras on the Earth are, the colours are green and red. And the reason for that is because it's actually oxygen atoms in the atmosphere that are glowing. The auroras on Jupiter are very, very bright. They're the brightest in the solar system. They're, in fact, about 100 times brighter than they are on the Earth. And the things that cause the auroras on Jupiter and Saturn are very different to the causes of the auroras on the Earth. The auroras on the Earth are caused by the sun's interaction with the Earth.
Later, we all met outside in the freezing cold to watch the first Arctic sunrise of 2008. It had stopped snowing and was actually pretty clear, and the beautiful red colors looked gorgeous against the white snow. Sure enough, at just a little after one, the top of the sun was visible just at the horizon. We all cheered and yelled, "Happy New Year!" Even though it wasn't really New Year, but it just kind of felt right. Also, we weren't really sure what you're supposed to yell when the sun finally comes up, after many months of not making it over the horizon. The afternoon was also filled with rich presentations on a variety of topics, and I just soaked it all up. Kenneth Tuvok, the elder from Barrow, described his memories of early Arctic aviation at Barrow and told us what it was like when Wiley Post and Will Rogers' airplane went down back in 1935. They both unfortunately were killed, and there is a memorial to them here in town. Roger Turner from the University of Pennsylvania talked to us and described more about early Arctic aviation and the Bergen School of Meteorology. Next, we learned about the International Geophysical Year, which was held in 1957 through 1958, from people who were actually at the conference and from speakers who were in Fairbanks, Alaska. One of the speakers, Robert Benson, had spent 2 years working in Antarctica, and it was absolutely incredible to hear and see what his life was like for him and the 18 men who lived and worked together from 1957 through 1958. They were there to learn about the environment and conduct studies in that incredibly harsh environment. We finished off the first day of the conference with a fabulous tour of the Basque Arctic Archaeological Laboratory, where we actually got to touch and use magnifying glasses to explore many artifacts that have been excavated from various sites. We saw and held whale bones, walrus bones, art made by Inupiat using walrus ivory. We saw caribou skulls, objects preserved in peat, such as old knives and tools that were used to scrape animal hides. It was truly an amazing experience.
We would like to give a special thanks to Dorian for taking the time to share her incredible journey with us. Once again, don't forget to visit the Sun Earth Day website for more information and phenomenal imagery directly related to all four Arctic Impressions podcasts. We are very interested in hearing your questions and comments about the Sun Earth Day podcast. If you have something to say, send an email to sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. That's sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.